Last Sunday, we discussed the virtue that the Apostle Paul talks about in Colossians. We talked about compassion, the compassion of Christ, that Christ has for all of mankind. This compassion does not just reach to Bethel United Methodist Church or the First Assembly of God Church in Tallahassee. It reaches to all of mankind, God's compassionate love. And we agreed after studying the scripture last week that we should all have compassion for everybody, even as Christ had compassion for all of us. And today, the second virtue that I want to talk about, using this great same text in Colossians, is meekness. Let me go back now to Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ take rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is also Epiphany Sunday. It's a time that we as United Methodists see a manifestation of the divine Christ as he was worshiped by the Magi. These three kings recognized Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. They recognized him as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had that light bulb moment when they became aware that he was indeed the real McCoy. He was the true Messiah. He was the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And they knew the definition of meekness. Meekness. Some people say that it's being submissive. These three kings were priests from Media and from Persia. And some say that they were astronomers seeking wisdom. They were magicians. But they came bearing gifts for the one that they had heard was to be the King of the Jews. They said, "We have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage to this baby, to this king." They came to pay allegiance to their new Lord. Have you ever noticed when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and they experience the forgiveness of their sins? All of their allegiance is suddenly shifted from the things in the past to the hope of things in the future through Jesus Christ. They have a new perspective on things. They want everything to be focused around this newfound relationship that they have with Jesus. These priests had traveled possibly hundreds of miles, and they were filled with joy at being in the presence of Jesus Christ, and meekly came and worshiped this newborn baby. They were filled with joy at being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we come into worship service, not just here at Bethel, any church across the nation, any denomination. You can go into that church on Sunday morning. Jesus is there. But you would never know it by the expression on some people's face, because they have lost the joy of their salvation. Every day we need to pray and ask God to renew that joy, renew that zeal that we have to worship Him. These three kings were the first to worship this new king. And having seen him, they defied orders from King Herod, and they quietly and meekly left for their own country by a different route. Meekness is a positive attribute to human nature and human behavior. Within the context that Paul used the word meekness, it refers to a way of righteousness. In Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Someone said, "Yeah, they're going to inherit the earth, all right, and they can pay off the mortgage that we left for them." That's the attitude that a lot of people have. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to let everybody else pay for it. I'm going to let everybody else have to suffer the consequences of my actions. There's no meekness in that. The world does not revolve around me, nor does it revolve around you. Our world should revolve around Jesus Christ. Their attitude, the worldly attitude of being meek, is not what Jesus meant for his people. Jesus was honoring the fact that being meek, he was letting the people know that it was nothing to be ashamed of, but it was something to be proud of. There's a catch to that. If you get too proud about being meek, you might lose some of your meekness. Meekness. Meekness means to be teachable. It means long suffering and willingness to follow gospel teachings. The true disciple of Christ wears a new virtuous suit of clothes. We've talked about being clothed with these virtues, these attributes. Meekness is also defined as strength under control. It is real strength, but it doesn't have to display itself or show off how strong it is. It doesn't have to bully or to have its own way about things. Another definition of meekness is a willingness to waive one's own rights for a good cause. To set aside your rights, to not demand that you be satisfied for the sake of a good cause, but we be willing to suffer loss to reach out and to help that fellow man, that fellow woman, that fellow boy or girl. Meekness is the exact opposite of rudeness and abrasiveness. If you are rude, if you're abrasive, if you're a bully, you're not being meek. If you think you are, you're fooling yourself. Putting on Christ is just as much a part of the believer's life as putting away sin. When we accept Christ, we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, to set us apart from the evil in this world, and to clothe us with righteousness. As children of God, sanctified through His divine power, we are to reflect to the world. We are to reflect that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And we're to reflect this message to other believers as well as to non-believers. We are to reflect our identity in Christ. The things that we put on after we have stripped off the trappings of the old man are extremely important. When preparing this message, some old sayings came to mind that are so very true. A man is known by the company that he keeps. You've heard people say that clothes make the man. A Christian should be known for righteous virtues. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Remember the story I told last week about the woman at the traffic light that was just having a fit because she didn't make it through the intersection. She was cursing and ranting and raving and carrying on. And a policeman knocked on her car door and he says, "Are you okay? So step out of the car. I'm going to have to arrest you." He says, he took her to jail. A few hours later, he released her. He says, "I'm sorry for the misunderstanding, but with the come to Sunday school, I love Jesus, the Christian fish emblem, all of these stickers on your side, on your car, and the way you were conducting yourself, I just knew you had stolen the car." We have to be mindful of these things, our image, the way we portray ourselves. We have to let Jesus shine through our life. Throughout the believer's life, the sins mentioned in the first part of this chapter in verses 5 through 7 will be put to death through the work of the Spirit until the day when Christ makes all things finally and forever new. That's going to be a glorious time, folks. We won't have to worry about being sick. We won't have to worry about being broke. We won't have to be worried about whether somebody is trying to undermine what we're doing on our job. But everything that is bad, everything that is evil, that's going to be done away with, and we will be in the presence of our Savior who has redeemed us from all of these things. Amen. Believers increasingly take on the image of God rather than the likeness of the people of earth. What image do we have on this morning? That's the question. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." God's elect, His chosen ones, will not simply set aside the old life and its ways, but they will display a new suit of clothes. You will act different. You will walk different. You will talk different because you have become a new creation. You have become new in Jesus Christ when you have His blood applied to your heart and life. All of these virtues culminate in love, which is the bond of perfection that has the power to change the world. We have access to that power this morning. It has changed our lives if you have accepted Him as your Savior. As we prepare to take of Holy Communion today, may we all have an epiphany. May we have that light bulb moment and see what God has in store for us as His believers.